Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Nehemiah tonight. This is week three of studying this awesome gentleman's life. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of productivity, and we have so far covered six prayers that he prayed, and I'm going to jump through those. Marla, I'm going to skip the timeline this week, and we're just going to go straight to he prayed for help in Nehemiah chapter 1 when his brother Hanani came to him and told him, Nehemiah said, what's the state of Jerusalem? And he told him, and Nehemiah, he prayed to the Lord, and he asked that God would help them. Number two, he prayed for an answer. And these are all things that as we go through them, I want you to realize you can pray for these things in your life. If you need help, pray to God. That's where you get help from. I love what the psalmist said. I lift my eyes to the hills. That's where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and of earth. My help doesn't come from Capital One or Mass. MasterCard, my help comes from the Lord. Number two, he prayed for an answer because when he was there in the midst of the king asked him, What do you want? And he says, so I prayed, it's in italics right there, so I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king. So he didn't know what to tell the king, but he prayed very quickly and God gave him an answer. The third thing that he prayed for is vindication. As the people were coming against them, he had the dirt bags, Tobiah and Sanballat, that were coming against him. And he says, hear us from God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over to plunder. Notice, so many people in today's day and age, they have a problem with God displaying wrath. And they have great issue. How could a loving God have wrath? Let me tell you, God still very much has the characteristic of wrath. And so the thing is he doesn't want you to act in vengeance. He doesn't want you to act in wrath. But that doesn't mean he's not a wrathful God. He is still a wrathful God. The Bible clearly states that he is still angry with the wicked on a daily basis. Let me tell you, if you go back to generations that are even older than what we have seated in this room that lived through World War I or II and witnessed something like a Hitler, they understood there's nothing wrong with that person being punished for the 6 million Jews that they murdered in the Holocaust. There was nothing wrong with God being a wrathful God then, but we've gotten weak today and we're like, oh God, it's just a God of love. He is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. Why? Because he's a God of love, he's a God of wrath. Why does that make sense? Because he loves his people so much that it angers him when people treat them wrong. He's still a just God. So he prayed for vindication. The fourth thing he prayed for is protection, that God would protect them. He would watch over them. Because of these people that were coming against them, they were going to fight them, and that's when they were working half and praying half. The fifth thing is he prayed for provision. He was providing for these Jews to eat on a daily basis, paying for it out of his own pocket, and he said, Lord, do not forget what I have done, but bless me for what I have done and remember me for it. So he's praying for God to be his sustenance, his provision. The sixth thing he prayed for was strength. He said, God, strengthen my hands. And that's something that we need to remember is as we're building, as we're growing, as whether it's spiritual growth and spiritual building or natural growth and natural building, we need to pray, God, I want you to be my strength. I want you to be my source. I can't be my own source of strength. So that's where we left off last week, and we're going to pick back up. And I just kind of last week what I did, I just kind of started going through the story, and then we would talk about it when we got to a point that was interesting. This week, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6. So if you want to turn there and you can kind of follow along with me, and we're going to pick up in Nehemiah 6. Nehemiah is once again dealing with the dirtbags, Tobiah and Sanballat, who are trying their very best to frighten the people of God and to disturb the work that is taking place. That's the first thing I want to talk about tonight, is that the enemy will always try to employ fear. Anytime God starts to do something in our life or in our midst, the enemy immediately wants us to get sidetracked. I talked about this a few weeks ago when I talked about death to fear. Fear is a tactic of the enemy that is trying to get you off track, off course, and to frighten you. And so next in the story, after they're doing this, we have some more intrigue and some covert activity because Nehemiah, he goes to the house of a man by the name of Shemaiah, who we find out was a spy hired by the dirtbags. And so he goes to his house, and here's what this guy says. He says, to Nehemiah. And I forgot to put this in my notes, but you can pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 6, and I don't even have the verse in my notes, so I'm apologize. You guys are going to have to do your own sleuthing and find this scripture. I believe it's somewhere close to like the 14th verse, 12th verse. Let's try the 12th verse. What's verse 12 say, Pastor Lauren, in Nehemiah 6? Oh, no, go back to 11. 10. Let us meet together. Is that 10? Let us meet together. Yeah. Okay, all right. Let us meet together. Did I put it up there? Yep. Okay, 10. Let us meet together. This is what Shemaiah tells him. Let us meet together in the house of God. Let's close the doors because they are coming this very night to kill you, basically, is what he says to him. They're going to try to come tonight. They're going to kill you. So let's go to the house of God. Let's shut the doors and let's close ourselves in. And here's what Nehemiah says in return. He says, should such a man as I flee? I love this. I told y'all last week, and I'm just going to keep saying it. Nehemiah was an absolute boss, okay? He said, should such a man as I flee? It's like he just has so much confidence. And who is there, such as I, who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. So what I want to do tonight is we're still going to focus on we're going to cover one prayer tonight that Nehemiah prayed, but now I want to start giving you some subpoints of what prayer will produce in your life. That is, you're a person of prayer, it will produce some things. And so these points are going to be labeled A, B, C, and D, whereas the prayers of Nehemiah have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and we're going to cover number 7 tonight. So it makes sense in my mind. Hopefully you get something out of it. A, prayer produces confidence. That because Nehemiah has been a person of prayer, and every time he's been presented with a challenge, his prayer always precedes his action. He doesn't act independently of God, but he makes sure that he calls upon the Lord, he gets an answer from God, and then he acts. And so because he has God on his side, Nehemiah is not frightened, he's not intimidated, he's not scared, he is a man of confidence. And I want you to know tonight that if you are somebody that struggles with confidence, confidence is a good thing. In fact, the Bible says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. In the Hebrews, it says this. It says, do not cast away your confidence because in it there is great reward. And so God wants us to be confident people. He doesn't want us to be fearful people. Oh, I wonder what they're going to say. I wonder what they're going to think. He wants you to be confident, and prayer produces confidence. I'm going to quote to you one of the greatest football coaches of all time, even though he is a fictional character. Well, kind of fictional. He was real, but in the movie, he's kind of fictional. It's Coach Boone from Remember the Titans, played by Denzel Washington. You know what he said? He's standing in a stairwell, and he looks at the gentleman and he says, I don't scratch my head unless it itches. I don't dance unless I hear some music. I will not be intimidated. Come on, somebody. Nehemiah said, shall such a man as me run to the house of God? I don't think so. I'm not going to hide. I will be right here. I love what Coach Deion Sanders says. I ain't hard to find. If you want to come find me, here I am. I've got confidence, okay? Intimidation should have no foothold in the life or the heart of any believer. You know why? Because we have not received from our Father a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So intimidation has nothing to do with who God wants you to be. It has everything to do with who the enemy wants you to be. The enemy wants you to be intimidated. The enemy wants you to be afraid. The enemy wants you to be scared. He wants you to be on your heels and running and fretful about everything. But remember, we talked about months ago, a profusion of peace was a sermon that I talked about, and there was things, and in Psalm chapter 37, three times it says, do not fret, do not fret, do not fret. Why? Because God doesn't want us to be fretful, intimidated people. Fear was a method that the enemy tried time and time again in the story of Nehemiah. But here's what I love. Nehemiah never let fear control the narrative of the story. Even though fear is in the story, every single time it shows up, it's defeated by faith. The only role that fear has to play in the plot of this story is the role of failure. Fear is a failure. Now, here's the deal. You can either fail by fear or you can cause fear to fail. It depends on what you do with it. So Nehemiah never let fear or intimidation have the upper hand. You're always going to be tempted with fear, especially when you begin to do things for God. But You must always make the choice to operate in faith. You know why? Because faith trumps fear every time you use it properly. Nehemiah, let me remind you, was no less human than you or I. Saxon, Nehemiah was as much a man as you, as much a man as me. He was not divine by nature. He was human. But we see these great exploits he did for God. Why? Because he was a person of prayer and he was a person of productivity. He did not give way to fear. He lived in faith. His prayers carried him to this point. I want you to see this because here we are. We find him in chapter 1. What happens? He prays. We find him in chapter 2. He prays. We find in chapter 4. He prays. And then he prays again. And then he prays again. We've already found 7 times and we're in the 6th chapter that Nehemiah has already opened his mouth and called out to God for help. And so it has gotten to this point where he's like, you know what? I don't have anything or anybody to fear. I'm not going to run. When you pray, God answers. Here's what happens. When God answers, your faith gets increased. When your faith is increased, fear loses its grip on your life. That's why I say prayer produces confidence. Because as you pray, God answers. When God answers, your faith is increased. When faith is increased, fear loses its grip on your life. Nehemiah was productive because he prayed. The second thing that prayer will produce, B, is prayer produces discernment. Verse 12, then I perceived, Nehemiah says, I understood that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Verse 13 says, for this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way in sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. So he perceived, he had an understanding. He saw through the trickery. He understood, no, these guys hired him to try to get me to run to the house of the Lord so they could have an evil report to say about me. So because of Nehemiah's reliance on God, he has the ability to see through the farce that Shemaiah and the Sanballat and Tobiah have hired him to try to trick Nehemiah. And so here's what I want us to get from this tonight. When you have a regular prayer life, and you seek God, and you don't just pray, but you also listen to God and get an answer from God, what happens is he fine-tunes your perception and your understanding and your discernment to a place of accuracy so that you aren't trapped in the plans of the enemy, but instead you are granted wisdom to see truth. What is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. That's a spiritual understanding of wisdom. Now, a natural understanding of wisdom is this. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that tomatoes don't go in fruit salad, okay? All right. So what does that mean? That means knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is, do you know what to do with knowledge? Okay. But in wisdom, when in spiritual matters, wisdom, God holds wisdom. Okay. There's a spirit of wisdom. We know that because in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you would know as the hope of your calling. But before that, he says that you may receive the spirit of wisdom and understanding. So wisdom is a spirit that we can receive from God. And so Nehemiah has this spirit of discernment and wisdom to realize you are trying to use, it sounds like a good thing, right? Let's go to the church and hide. That sounds like the right place to go. Oh, hey, but didn't the devil not try to tempt Jesus with scripture, right? Did not Satan try to tempt Adam and Eve? Did God not say, did he say this, right? So there will always be an element of truth in every single lie. And Nehemiah was able to see through the farce and realized that it was something that was not beneficial for him. So because he was a person of prayer, he prayed and God had answered. He knew, no, this isn't from God. Because I know what God looks like. I know what God sounds like. I know what God feels like. It's like Pastor Frankie, one of our overseers, says. He says, I may not know what it is, but I know what it ain't. Right? When you look at something, you're like, that ain't it. That ain't it. And Nehemiah looked at Shemaiah and he's like, that ain't it. That's not God. I know what God sounds like. I know what I feel in my spirit when God speaks to me. That's not it. It gives discernment. Now, discernment is also something that the Holy Spirit gives as one of the gifts of the Spirit that's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the discerning of spirits, not the gift of suspicious. It's not the gift of suspicion, it's the gift of discernment, okay? Some people got the gift of suspicion, right? Do they got the spirit of Jezebel? No, you're just looking for something, right? But there is the gift of discerning of spirits so that you aren't fooled by the person, but you're able to see through the natural into the spirit, into the supernatural. Meaning you can look at someone and say, like Shemaiah was saying what seemed like the right thing. Well, you say this, but you mean that, right? All right, here's the seventh prayer of Nehemiah. He prayed for God to remember his enemies and to remember that he himself had not failed. Chapter 6, verse 14, my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to those works, and the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets, listen to this, who would have made me fail. Not who did. This is a prayer of victory. They would have, but they couldn't. Why? Because I got discernment. I've got wisdom. They tried, but they didn't succeed. But he tells them, he's already prayed for vindication once. That's number three. He prays for it again. Don't hold them guiltless. Remember, I kept trusting you even when they tried to fool me. These are beautiful prayers. You know why they're beautiful prayers? Because they're real. They're real. He's talking about real people. He's talking about real experiences. And I want to encourage you tonight, make sure your prayers are real. Make sure that they're just not, well, this sounds good, or I heard someone else pray this one time. If you're going through it, let God know you're going through it. If you're feeling something, let God know what you're feeling. Don't be ashamed to open up your heart and pray. Nehemiah, like I said, he was a man just like you and me. He just prayed honest prayers to God. When I'm sure he wanted to react in vengeance to Tobiah and Sanballat, instead he said, God, you take care of them. I trust you. C is, this is the next thing prayer produces. Prayer produces results. So all this has taken place, and Tobiah and Sanballat have tried everything that they can to get Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem to fail. They've tried conspiracies, they've tried hiring false prophets, they've tried ridiculing them, making fun of them, they've tried everything that they know, and nothing has worked. And in verse 15 of chapter 6, it says, so the wall was finished. The wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. So it all starts in chapter 1 with a burden and a prayer. 52 days after construction begins, despite enemies, despite the odds, despite conspiracies, despite threats, they get results. They get the job done. That's why I'm so hyped about this 21 days of prayer and fasting, is I know it's going to produce results. I know that it's going to produce results that are going to carry beyond what you and I could do in the flesh. What do I mean by that? God results. Not just people results. Not just when people get excited and people start to give and people start to show up more. I'm talking about what God can do when we do pray, when we do give, when we do serve, when we do show up, when we do fellowship, when we do love one another, when we do live in unity. And all of a sudden, as we're praying and we're fasting, we get results like a wall being built in 52 days that should have taken 52 weeks, but it took 52 days because there was people that were praying. Things that people couldn't do no matter how hard they try. This is something that no matter how organized you were, how excellent you were, and I told you guys the first week, this didn't happen because Nehemiah was the greatest civil engineer of all time. This didn't happen because Nehemiah was the greatest wall builder of all time. This happened because Nehemiah was a person of prayer and a person of productivity. Because what happens is prayer transcends what we know as reality. And it goes beyond human possibilities and transports us into heavenly realities when we pray. Why? Because what happens is prayer is when we connect in our spirit to God, and God begins to do what we can't do in the flesh through us. That's why Jesus said, pray this way, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where? Here. On earth. That's all. Prayer is inviting heaven. heaven to invade earth. That's why when I pray that, I pray, God, let your kingdom come and your will be done at the well for pain as it is in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in my home as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in DeKalb County. I don't want it just inside of these four walls. I want this to be a kingdom community, because I told you guys a few weeks ago, the church is something that God ordained, and it's simply a kingdom community that is planted in an earthly community with the power to transform earthly communities into kingdom communities. That's what we're here for. So we're inviting God, let our temporary home look like your eternal home, because this is our temporary home, but while we're here, we want it to look like our eternal home. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're not getting the results you want, try prayer, right? You know, like those commercials where someone's like, hey, have you tried, you know, that someone's got bad breath. And it's like, have you tried a Tic Tac? Like, have you tried prayer? Have you given that a try yet? Bad breath, you know, you don't have to let other people know you have it. It just announces itself and lets everyone know it's there. Something, when you pray, something will change. Either you will change or your situation will change. But the reality is when you really pray, something will change. That's why I say prayer gets results. All right, D. I think this is the last one for tonight, yeah. Prayer produces influence. Listen to verse 16 of chapter 6. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things. They were very disheartened in their own eyes. Listen, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. That's one of my prayers. Lord, give us, I pray all the time, God, give us influence as the well for pain. I'll tell you something, I pray all the time, God, I pray that the political leaders of our community would call us asking our opinion on matters. God, that they would say, we got to know, what does the church, because the church is ordained by God. It's the highest form of authority on earth is the church. God is, because Jesus is the head of the church. Not you, not just you and me, but because we're submitted to the authority of Christ Jesus, we get to carry that authority. My prayer is, God, I pray that the mayor and the city council, they would have a plan. They would go, hang on, before we move forward with this, let's call the well and see what they think about it. Why? Because as the people of God, we should have influence even in political matters. I believe that. And I'm asking God to restore that. But what happened is people see they built this wall in 52 days. They couldn't have done it. God had to have done it. Right? And so it began to influence the community. If all of a sudden that word gets around, they built a beautiful bathroom in the back and they didn't pay a penny for it. God just kept providing and people just kept. You know, one time the temple needed to be it needed a facelift. It had fallen into disrepair. And they called for people to bring donations to repair it. And you know what they did? They had to tell people, stop. Stop bringing stuff. And you go read it. It says that as you walk through the temple, it was laid in heaps and heaps. It was, they literally didn't have anywhere else to put the stuff that was being brought. Could you imagine with me just for a moment what could happen? That's God results. Why? Because when we pray, we get results. So Nehemiah, what was done, I should say, had been done by God, because at the beginning of the book, Nehemiah didn't go into depression about the situation. He got a burden. He didn't pitch a fit about the situation. He went to God with the situation. Because when you pray, you get results. And now the nations around Israel are going, power of God. Couldn't have been anything but God. It wasn't Nehemiah. It was, listen, Nehemiah's not getting the credit. Just like when God continues, and I believe he is, when God continues to do what he's doing here, Spencer's not going to get the credit. Madison's not going to get the credit. God's going to get the glory. They didn't go, hey, look at Nehemiah. Look at what Nehemiah did. Let's elect Nehemiah, even though he was already governor. Let's make him king. No, they said, God had to have done this. If we will give ourselves to prayer and to trust in God, I want you to know there is no limit to what God can and will do through this body of believers. Not because we're special. I told you guys, we're some of the okayest people that I know. And that means in every sense of the word. No, I'll tell you why something great can happen. Not because we're special, but because he's no respecter of persons. God doesn't go, well, you're not T.D. Jakes, I can't use you. Right? You're not Cindy Jacobs, I can't use you. You're not Jensen Franklin, I can't use you. You're not Billy Graham, I can't use you. No, He's no respecter of persons. If you say, God, here I am. Nehemiah, let me remind you, was not a king. He was a cupbearer. He was a servant to a pagan king in exile. And God called him out of that to do this work because Nehemiah got a burden and he began to pray. And I'll tell you why else. Not because we're special, but because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man still avails much. He's still the God who listens. He's still the God who answers. He's still the God who is faithful. And if we want to influence this community, and hello, we do, it will come by prayer and trust and also putting in the work. Notice, Nehemiah was not just a man of prayer. He was not just a man of productivity. He was a man of prayer and productivity. It all starts with prayer. Acknowledging God in every situation and welcoming him to come and lead us through that situation. And God, I need you. We serve the same God Nehemiah served, yet we're under a new covenant with even greater access to God and even greater blessings and benefits than he could have ever even imagined. So here's what I say. We will not stop praying. We will not stop believing. We'll not stop working. We'll not stop building until DeKalb County looks like the kingdom. I know that just like Nehemiah saw results, guess what? We're going to see results. Why? Because prayer produces results. Prayer produces influence. Prayer produces. Sometimes, you know, there's been times that when we started, I didn't have the confidence I have now. I'll just be honest with you. I'm a much more confident person in myself and in God now than I probably ever have been. Why? Because I've started praying more. The more I pray, the more confident I become to go, you know what? I don't have to worry about this, right? I know God's got it. I know he's had results before. He's going to give us results again. I want to cover, I've done this every week. I've closed with a quote. I want to cover the first two that we've talked about, and then we'll close. C.S. Lewis. And the reason I keep going back to these is I want us to get this in our spirit. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It, speaking of prayer, doesn't change God. It changes me. A.W. Tozer said this. Some churches now advertise classes on how to pray. How ridiculous. That's like offering a class on how to fall in love. I love that quote. It's so good. And then tonight's quote comes from Reverend Billy Graham. He said, "You cannot afford to be too busy to pray." That's what I want you to think about this week. Because sometimes, I'm going to be honest, we woke up this morning, the moment my eyes opened, you know the first thought on my mind? We're out of coffee. That was the first thing I thought about. I'm serious. My eyes opened up. It was not, "I love you, Lord. Lord, give me a good day." It was, "We're out of coffee. What are we going to do?" So I waited as long as I could, and I went, and I got up a little bit earlier than Madison today, and I went and woke her up and said, "We got to go get coffee." So we went and we got coffee first thing this morning. We were one of the first people in the coffee shop getting coffee. And so then we come back. And, of course, as soon as you come back, we have like our normal routine. I make coffee, we read our Bible, and then we pray, right? Like we do that every morning. And so that messed up our routine. But you know what I had to decide this morning? Whatever I've got going on that I need to do is not more important than the prayer that I need to commit myself to first. Now, I understand, everybody, you may have a certain time you got to be at work. I get it. That's why we can pray in the Spirit. We can pray without ceasing. We can commune with God throughout the day. But realize this, you cannot afford to be too busy to pray. Why? Because if, let me just back up here. If you don't pray, you don't get influence. If you don't pray, you don't get God results. If you don't pray, you don't get the discernment that you need and you might get fooled. If you don't pray, you don't get confidence and you might give in to fear and get sidetracked from who God wants you to be. Prayer is vitally important in our life. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Father, we thank you for what you are teaching us and showing us. I thank you for what you're teaching me and showing me. God, we want to commit ourselves even more and more to prayer. God, even times like this at the end of service, let it not just be a habitual or a ritualistic thing that we do to, it's time to close out service, let's pray. But God, may we truly turn our hearts to you and say, God, We pray because we can't help ourselves. We pray because of the need. It flows out of us, whether we're awake or whether we're asleep. We need you, God. And we pray for results. We pray for confidence. We pray for you to produce in us what we cannot produce in ourselves. God, we're praying that we would get those God results, that that people would look at it and go, that wasn't Spencer, that was God. That wasn't the well, that was God. That wasn't talent or ability, that was God. That wasn't just excellence and doing things the right way, that was God. And Lord, I'm praying that when people come here, they would say, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. I drove past here time after time after time, but when I came here, yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, the music is good. Yeah, the children's ministry is good, but this isn't just good, this is God. This isn't just excellence, this is God. This isn't just somebody that can sing, this is the anointing. This isn't just someone that can preach, this is the Holy Spirit of God that's speaking to the church today. This isn't just a kind face, but this is the love that comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we're asking for God results in our community. Lord, I pray that DeKalb County would be saved. We're continuing to call out for revival, reformation, and awakening. God, let there be repentance. Let there be revival. Let there be repair. Let there be rejoicing. God, let there be restoration. Let there be just an awakening to life. Lord, we give ourselves to you and we say whatever you want, we will be here for it. And God, if you are doing anything in the earth, we beg to be a part of it as your children. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may keep you in his peace, and may you be a person of prayer and productivity. Go with God tonight in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Love y'all.